Okay, guys, should we start? Yep. Okay, good day to you all. I'm Jasko Wimonen, and I'm going to talk to you about audio management in Tizen IVI. Just a little bit introduction about myself and what I'm going to do, but what I've done and what I'm going to show to you. So some personal data. I'm working for Intel, OTC, Open Source Technology Center in Finland. We have an office there for 2 years now. Currently, I'm working with Tizen IVI profile, and I have a quite long history in the mobile development, so I'm come from that world. And I'm actually a member of the Murphy team. You probably heard the Murphy here a couple of times today. There's the address. Murphy is in the 01.org, so go and check it out. It's kind of this, let's say, cross-domain policy engine, which is doing a lot more than audio. Audio is just one part of it. And that's what I'm going to talk to you today. Then, what I mean by audio management, so, and in Tizen I especially, so, it means policy-controlled routing, or routing, how do you say it? And it means that we are controlling routing of audio streams to different destination. So, are you allowed to route the audio to Bluetooth or not? What happens when the Bluetooth appears, and so forth? I will show you some examples. We are talking about policy control, volume control. So, in what volume the streams are allowed to play? How do they affect the volumes of the other streams? And then, policies, audio management means policy-controlled stream preemption. So, we are able to stop, pause, or even kill streams if we wish to do so. And that's kind of what this presentation is all about. Some overview. There has been a lot of these kind of overviews already in every presentation, that what is IVI system, what does it mean. From audio point of view, this is kind of just to let you know what kind of audio hardware system we might have in a car. There might be several units, several computing units, which I call here head unit, back unit. I don't know what is the correct name for the backseat entertainment, but it just means that there might be several computers. I guess you all know that. I just put here AVB amplifier. It's a AVB stands for this audio video broadcasting standard, which is kind of, you can broadcast audio over Ethernet. So the red line here is an wired Ethernet connection. You might have several loudspeakers. Here's only four. But, I mean, there might be 12, 20 loudspeakers. We don't know that. There's wireless connection. There might be VLAN. There might be Bluetooth. There's wired connection. There might be, you know, jack where you can connect headsets, so forth. So this is just to let you know that, I mean, these systems can be quite complex. What kind of use cases could we have in the IVI audio? This is something we have, you know, kind of invented ourselves. We don't know if it's a real one, but I mean, you could kind of think that it's a probable use case. So it might happen. So let's go it briefly through. So, you know, driver is listening to radio, navigation is on. That's kind of normal. We have a backseat passengers. They're listening to MP3s or whatever music streams. And they're actually sharing the same music. We have a phone connected over Bluetooth. And there's a call coming. What should happen then? That's kind of then how you have configured the policy to handle this situation. So on the right side, you can see on the image kind of what are the inputs and what are the possible outputs. So there's the microphone, there's the phone, there's navigation, there's radio, there's the music. And you can see, for example, the music, MP3 music, because it's going to the headset, it can continue because it's not disturbing anything. It's not disturbing the phone calls. Navigation should be on, even though there's a phone call. What do we do with the music that the driver was listening? Well, that's an option that you should be able to configure. Either it goes down, it goes to the right speaker, or something else during the phone call. So you see that it's kind of, some streams can be shared, some are mixed. So this is possible to multiplex or mix streams, or they can just be by themselves. So just to give you some idea of a possible use case that could happen in a premium class car. What's the conclusion? IVR and mobile audio are different. I mean, this is, I come from the mobile world, so I've done that once, even a couple of times. And now, when we move to the IVI, there are kind of little bit different concepts that are used in the car. There are many simultaneously used outputs. In the mobile, okay, we might have a couple of cases, for example, ringtone coming to headset and to the phone speaker, but they are kind of quite rare there. In the car, it can be really kind of just a usual case. We have possibly multiple users in different zones in the car who might want to share or not share or whatever with the music or audio. Plus, we have possibly multiple computing units connected. So we have to somehow handle that one. The picture you see there in the lower parts, it's just to show you, for example, what is the difference between routing usually in the mobile and IVI. Usually in mobile, there's a mix and route. So you usually mix everything together and then you route it to somewhere. But in the IVI world, usually it's like a switching matrix. So you can connect whatever to whatever, and like multiplex or mix. So it's a little bit different model that you use there. Okay, so this is kind of, I'm trying to tell you why we are doing this and what we want to achieve. And now it's kind of coming a little bit that how we are doing it in the Tizen IVI. This is just kind of high-level software design. I want to spend a little bit more time with this, just to get you a kind of idea of the complete system, how it could work and should work, and it's working already like that. So, as a kind of audio server, we have Pulse Audio. That's what we use at the moment, at least. And it's kind of, well, if you look at the desktop world, it's kind of de facto there. So it's coming with the distributions. It is used always there. What I mean, these audio domains centralized in Pulse Audio. It means that we try to gather all the different possible audio outputs or inputs inside Pulse Audio. So either it's ALSA, either it's BlueSy, it's a AVB, that's a coming thing, it's not yet there, but it's coming. Or, for example, we have another computing unit with another Pulse Audio over network. So it's just much easier to do stuff if it's centralized in one place. If it's not, so then you have to do something outside the audio domain. What is the kind of beef here that is handling all the audio management? It's this small module inside Pulse Audio. It's called Pulse Audio Module Murphy IVI because, you know, we are from Murphy team and it's actually connected to the Murphy engine. So that's where the name comes from. Why I want to kind of emphasize that it's independent, it means that it can work without any connection to the outside world. So it can do the audio management without connection to Murphy. But if you have a connection to Murphy, you can do much more, which I will explain later what that means. So how do you figure out what policies to do to different streams? So how do you manage those? So we are basing the thing to stream tagging. It means that when you kind of when you are opening an audio stream, you tag it. So you put the property there. You say that it's a music stream, it's a navigation stream, whatever. It's an event, UI event, something like that. So there has to be some kind of method for the policy to know that what is this audio that is now playing. Otherwise, it's a little bit difficult to do anything to it. So you got to know what it is. And this is kind of basic feature in Pulse Audio. So in Pulse Audio API, you can tag a stream. You can put there a property, and then you can find it out inside the server that what's the property, is it music or something else. We have integrated this also now to the WebKit. So so if you are, for example, creating an audio stream or audio tag, there are a couple of ways how you can do this. You can put a property on the audio tag. It's kind of independent there. I mean, that's not used that much. Or for your application, you can do this kind of meta tag or something like that, that it's then coming through the WebKit to Pulse Audio. And that's already kind of working. It's there. I cannot now say you that that's the way how it should be done. But something there has to be that from the HTML5, we can get the information that what is this audio? What is this application that is playing? If you want to have kind of more fine-grained policy handling, then there's also always possibility to use the Murphy. Murphy provides kind of a more fine-grained, let's say, resourcing APIs. And if you use that, you get much more. So I'm talking about audio, but Murphy is combining the resources. So you can create audio resource, video resource, whatever. Speech recognition resource, something like that. And this is just to give you an idea how the whole audio management chain works. And now, for the rest of the presentation, I'm going to bore you with the details of this small component here. So this is the Pulse Audio Model Murphy IVI. And this is what we are doing inside. So we are routing with kind of priority queues. We are doing volume control. There's quite extensive configuration possibility. You can even script it. And you can do resource allocation through Murphy. So this is the coming things that I'm going to explain to you. So let's talk about routing. By the way, if you heard the Matt from JLR, for example, talking about mixing strategies. So mixing strategy is kind of combination of all these features. I mean, it's about routing, about volume control. So all those stuff together, that's how you call it the mixing strategy. Okay, routing. There's a concept called nodes. So we have created a new kind of logical layer to Pulse Audio, which is called nodes. Why have we done this? Why to create an extra layer there? Well, Pulse Audio already has kind of concept of sinks and sources. And unfortunately, you cannot just freely connect sinks and sources together inside Pulse Audio as you saw in the switching matrix. So it's kind of, we have an extra layer there that is doing a lot of things for you. It's creating certain modules there so you can multiplex. Certain modules you can do Bluetooth calls, so forth. So it's kind of a doing stuff for you that you would have to do otherwise a lot of work. And this is now exactly that these input and output nodes, so you can freely connect them together. So you can do this one-to-N, N-to-one mappings there. So you can split the stream exactly this case that you want to play the same stream to two different outputs. Then you just connect one input node to two output nodes, and that should handle it. These nodes are dynamically appearing and reappearing, so if you connect USB headset, Bluetooth headset, whatever, you get a new node. If there's a new input stream coming, you know, application appears, so there's a new node which you can route somewhere. The nodes might have hardware limitations, so there's kind of a, there are these kind of cases. For example, Bluetooth is an example. You cannot route, you know, to the hands-free, to the SCORE, or to the A2DP at the same time. Maybe with some rare devices, but usually that's not the case. So there's a limitation between these nodes. There might be, you know, limitations even in the ALSA devices. You might have a jack or loudspeakers behind the same hardware wire. So you just cannot route, for example, both different streams. It's always the same stream because there's a one physical wire. So this kind of hardware limitation you can specify in the nodes. Then there's a concept of explicit and default routing, which you can do with the nodes. This is kind of important. So explicit route is requested by the user. So if there's any events coming, you know, new headsets appearing, whatever, it doesn't affect an explicit route. So if the user requests a route, that will be there. That's it. Of course, if that device disappears, then we are routing it to somewhere else. But we are basically honoring the user's request. We wanted to put this kind of, basically I am now advocating here automated stuff, automated routing. But we wanted to have this kind of explicit stuff there because it's kind of really, really common pattern in the automotive industry that the OEM guys just want to desperately control everything. So the choice is there. You can do it if you want. So you can control every stream, whatever you want to do. Default route, on the other hand, it's done by the policy, the rules we have in the module. So it's kind of automatic. It's created when the stream is created, so you get routed somewhere. And it's dynamic, and it's based on, and it says class base, but it means the stream tagging. So now if you say, I'm a music stream, you get a certain default routing. If you are a navigator, we can specify you get something else. So you are routed differently, for example. So this is the configuration that we can do there. The whole routing is based on priority lists or priority queues, whichever way you want to say it. So, we can there's an image here on the right side, and we can kind of go through it. So this is a use case where there's music is playing, and there's a phone call coming. So this is a very, very, very common use case. And actually, this is working pretty nicely on the Tizen IVI if you try it out. So this is what happens. So there's a music playing. It belongs to the music queue. And there's a phone call coming, which is in the phone group. So it's in a different routing group. The phone call comes in. It will go through the queue that what kind of possible outputs do I have? Where can I route? And it's priority based because the phone has kind of higher priority that is routed first. So what happens, and the music is playing in the background. So what happens here, you go here, you actually find out, it's actually HFP, so it's a SCORE connection. So the phone will be routed there. But because there's now a hardware constraint that you cannot play to the A2DP at the same time, which is actually in the music group. So the music would be routed then somewhere else, not to the A2DP because you cannot do that. So then it will go either to the loudspeaker or somewhere else. It depends on the configuration. And then, so of course, this kind of routing queues you can then define how many you want, but of course things come a little bit more complex then. but this is the basic idea how it works. You define routing targets to certain classes, and then we go through them in a priority order. So that's how the routing works. Then about volume control. It's based on an independent mechanism. What we mean by independent mechanism is that it's a kind of another volume, it's kind of independent volume in pulse audio. So if you change this, so if the policy engine changes this volume, user doesn't notice it. So it's not anyway told to the user that actually your volume has changed. You might get some kind of real nasty race conditions here if the application starts to okay, my volume went down, I will put it up, and this kind of stuff. So it's an independent mechanism. We can change it, and you know, it doesn't show itself to the actual application. We have done actually some patches to pulse audio so that we can do volume ramping. Volume ramping is actually missing in the pulse audio upstream. It's not there. So you can see the patches. That's kind of one of the rare patches that we have actually on top of pulse audio. And the control points. So basically here, again, the volume. You can control different streams, or you can control devices. So, I mean, I will show it to you in the next slide. And it's quite actually nicely configurable. So you can configure what to do with the volume, how to control the different streams, what to do with them with the volume change. So it's based like constraints again. So you can kind of say this kind of rules in the configuration that if there's a phone stream coming, please attenuate all the other streams in the system except this stream. So then it will apply some volume to the other streams, but not, for example, to the navigator if it's specified so. You know, this could be the use case that there's a telephony coming. We want to put the music down. We don't want to completely shut it down, but navigation should still come through as loud as possible. And this kind of generic constraint and then kind of stream specific. Again, I'm talking here about class, but this class is actually the kind of the stream tagging that you are supposed to do. So it's a music, it's a navigator, however you specify it. And we have this kind of constraints like the generic limit, class limit, and they are combined. So if you have a generic limit like 12 dBs, class limit 20 dBs, so the actual limit for the stream is 32 decibels. Then about configuration. Now this is something we kind of think it's really, really important. So this is based on the past experience, it has to be really configurable, the whole thing. So, okay, this is something that we don't have to explain to the OEMs. So they know this. So what we want to do, actually we want to run this software in different verticals. So basically you could run the same stuff in mobile with different configuration, of course. Well, different OEMs want different policies. That's kind of clear. They don't even different policies between different cars, between different models. I mean, that's clear. And we want to enable fast prototyping. So you don't have to actually compile the software, even start looking at the source code maybe. You can just configure it and it works differently. So actually the configuration is done with Lua scripting. Why did we choose Lua? So okay, first reason, it was available in Tizen. Okay. Second item, we desperately wanted to have some kind of scripting. And so, I mean, that was kind of found that it's essential. We want to do scripting. And third thing was that, you know, okay, we have Brazilian members, and of course they were saying that Lua is the best you can find. And I mean, it's kind of a widely accepted in the gaming industry, for example, to configure stuff. So, I mean, there are a lot of good sides to using it. And how is it done so that actually we are doing both the configuration and the scripting with Lua? So if you can do a kind of static configuration, which is read when the system starts, but it's still Lua. It's Lua syntax. You can do it with Lua. After that one, the Lua is not executed, so it's not done. But you can add there scripting if you want to. So that means then that some parts of the functionality are actually done in Lua, and it means that the Lua is executed at runtimes. So this comes also with the risk and responsibility that, I mean, you can do quite a lot of nasty stuff then if you don't know what you are doing. But basically, I think the benefits are better, and this is not kind of something that is changing so much. Here's an example of just Lua configuration. So I'm sorry, there is no any highlighting. It's kind of difficult to see, but basically, this is an example of static configuration. There is no scripting. So you can hear here are the routing groups that I was talking to you about. So these queues that are done. So there's a default routing group. There's a phone routing group. And then there are application classes which belong to certain routing group. So this is how you do it in a Lua, a static configuration. So you say that there's a phone group and certain type of applications belong to that one, or certain type of streams belong to that one, and so forth. And this is read at the initialization. Nothing is run actually then on the runtime. And you can see here there's like built-in method. It means that it's an internal C function. And this actually, you could replace this accept or compare method. Here you could write a Lua script if you don't like our internal methods. Or you can implement it yourself with C, but then that's it. So we just wanted to provide you a choice. So you can do it in C, you can use our C implementation, or you can do a Lua script there. That's it. Then, connection to Murphy Policy Manager. So, as you probably remember, there was an arrow going to the Murphy engine and what you can do with it. So, this module can subscribe to Murphy database events. I encourage you to visit the Murphy website. There's a lot of documentation. You can actually see what Murphy is. I'm not going to explain you. It's in the 01.org. And just go there and find out more. But this is a thing that you can do. So you can subscribe to database events. And so this is actually a nice way to handle all kind of cross-domain stuff. If you visited the 01.org booth where Ulf was presenting, you know, there was an example, for example, the speed-dependent volume. When you were pushing the pedal, the volume was changing. So this is actually how it was done. This upper path is actually inside Murphy, a configuration. So actually, Murphy has a plugin for AMB, so the automotive message broker. And we get stuff coming so from there. So actually, some events which we are specifying in Murphy are coming to Murphy database, and they are triggering events which we are actually subscribing in the Pulse Audio. So, and there's actually Lua configuration here in the down part in Murphy, because there's actually quite a lot of speed data coming from AMB. And actually, we don't want that kind of huge amount of data flowing through the whole system. It's kind of, you know, everything is running all the time. So actually, we are kind of limiting the data flow a little bit in the Murphy level, and we get only exactly if you put a gear shift, and it's a maximum pedal or something like that, the rule, so then you get an event. And then on the Pulse Audio, you see here the lower part. It means that if the speed volume, which we have just specified, it's a tag for it. So if a speed volume is changing, we are actually running an internal C method, make volumes. So it will calculate all the volumes again if the speed volume is changing. So this way you can build this kind of cross-domain policies quite nicely. So that's one thing. So you can subscribe to Murphy and do all kind of whatever then you want. Another thing, it's called kind of resource allocation through Murphy. Just a couple of words what resource allocation means. So it means this kind of stuff that you are first asking that, you know, can I play audio or not? And Murphy may say to you that yes, you can or you cannot. Or in the middle when you are playing, it can say to you that actually now you lost your audio resource. Handle it. Or we actually will kill you or something like that. Something nasty will happen. Anyway, so actually we did this also because this was kind of done because part of so the integration to the our small module inside Pulse Audio, we integrated it so because of some of the Toyota cases were difficult to handle. But actually what this does is so that you can create a stream just in a Pulse Audio way. Just create a stream, and then actually our module will ask Murphy that are you allowed to play or not. Again, this is based on the stream tagging. If you want, as I said, if you want more fine-grained operation, then you should use the Murphy, which has a kind of dedicated resource API. As I said, the Murphy resource API is it can handle other stuff than audio. So, I mean, this is just an example that what you do with resource API. If you're a video player, for example, then you would ask for video resource and audio resource. And for some reason, you might lose, for example, audio resource, but not the video resource or something else. I mean, there's, for example, one use case that, let's say, you are watching music video on your screen. You start to drive. You cannot show the video anymore, but you want to hear the music. What happens in the application that, I mean, you first reserve audio and video resource. Then when you start to move, the car starts to move, we get a signal that actually you are not allowed to show the video anymore. So actually you tell the application that you lost the video resource. And the application can decide that, do I still want to continue playing audio or not? So we are doing the resource allocation automatically from this module. And then this also means that you will get preempted, or you might even get killed with the Pulse Audio API. So how this goes in the Pulse Audio terms is that we are corking the stream. So we are just stopping. You cannot stream audio anymore. You get a notification that actually you are corked, and then you should handle it. But I mean, the streaming stops. If you are using callbacks, the callbacks stop coming. If you are using the push model, I mean, and you are not reacting to this corking request, then you will just overflow your buffer. So basically, that's how it goes. And we can even kill the stream. Then you will get a notification that actually your connection to Pulse Audio just got lost. So this is done in these cases that, let's say there's two streams, and we just want to stop the other one for the time when another stream is playing, and then the other one can continue. If this is not there, we can kind of do the similar stuff with volume. So we can just route you for a certain time to, you know, let's say some dev null, and you are just not heard. But we cannot actually stop the streaming in a nice way. So if we want to stop the application to stream, we got to do this resource stuff. And that's it. So actually, we are coming to the end. So that was everything. Just small recap for you. So we have routing with priority queues. We have volume control. We have nice configuration scripting and also resource allocation. This is all the stuff you can do with this little thing. And everything is open source. This is in Tizen, of course. If you go to Tizen repositories, but Murphy is you can use it also in the desktop. So, I mean, it doesn't have to be Tizen, but of course we are promoting Tizen here. So it's in the 01.org. Go check it out. this module that we have, it's in the Tizen repositories, but it's also in the GitHub. And it's totally open, so you can just go and check how it works, download it, and actually try to use it on the desktop also. Okay, thank you. Do you have any questions? Yes. Okay, yeah. The question was that do we have any plans to apply Murphy to Tizen phones or mobile? Sure. Actually, we would like to do that. But let's see what is the time schedule. So that's kind of the...
Samsung also has its own policy manager.
Yeah, yeah.
And we saw that the policy manager provide different API. So if we want to share some application between the IVI and the phone, we may met some issue.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, of course, our policy manager is much better.
Yes, I think so.
I have to say that, but I mean, yeah, so, I mean, you might have noticed that also Toyota was presenting a policy manager, so there was a component. So, I mean, I'm not in a position here to rule that what is better and what is not. So, but so how we think this, so how we have thought is that we think that IVI audio is it's the most complex thing. So that's why we think that when we do this nicely on IVI, it's kind of scalable to mobile, to tablets, to desktops. So I kind of see it that way, that if we do the most complex thing, we can put it also to the other verticals. But, we have plans to kind of show that this will work on mobile, but it takes a lot of work because we are in IVI, we are kind of in a different mode than in a mobile, where they're actually building devices, so they are not very easily taking this kind of new stuff in. But really, that's the idea, what we want. We wanted to do that. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Not all audio sources have an active tag, at least from the hardware side, such as RCA audio. Is there anything in the architecture to handle those or to deal with those effectively?
Yeah, so, I mean, usually if there's some kind of... So, I mean, I think it's usually coming via some application, or is it? So then we hope that kind of the application would do it, so that if there's coming... So we cannot... Oh, yes, that's true. We cannot, you know, enforce the whole world to start using tagging. The idea here is that then we have a kind of default routing or default policy. If there's not a tag, you are assigned to some default group or something, so something will happen. You will be routed like a basic thing. But if you want more fine-grained stuff, so then you have to say that I'm a navigator, I'm something else. So that's how it handled.
First, I assume that everywhere that you had the arrows going out, there's also an arrow coming in for a microphone that can come from those sources.
Yeah.
Okay. The policies, if you want the user to control them, you do that basically by having a manager that sets up scripting. For example, if you want to have it user, instead of platform configurable, user configurable, whether you lower the volume or you turn off the front speakers when you receive a phone call, for example.
Yeah.
Then you'd have a manager that would do scripting into the Pulse Audio policy. Is that how it would work?
Yeah, so yeah, I have to say that we've been kind of thinking, so how we've been thinking this, that exactly that this is like in the mobile or only in the car. So the first thing is the OEM wants to do it, you know, something. It's a platform configuration. If it has to be user configurable, I think we kind of think that the user doesn't want to do it so complex way. So it's usually some setting or something. So you might have some applet that you can set something that exactly there's a button that, you know, mute all audio when the phone call comes in. And then we might, you know, change the rule. So, or we might do it so that actually in the Murphy, we have a just a, you know, plugin listening to this. It might be like a G-con for some setting. And then we actually change the policy inside Pulse Audio to cope with that one. But I think kind of the whole system-wide user configuration, we haven't kind of seen that that would be what the user wants. But
because I mean, ultimately, in these very complex cases that you're talking about, there's going to be variants that the user is going to end up wanting to choose. Right?
Yeah, and this is kind of the difference between the if you think desktop. So I mean, desktop. I mean, user usually wants to control everything. If you have a Skype call coming, so usually you shut down something else and you do. But in the mobile, you cannot do that. It has to be somehow automatically working because I mean, it's limited from the interaction. In the car, you are limited because you have to drive it. So some things have to happen automatically, and there has to be then maybe some room for configuration from the user. But so it has to be something kind of in between, that it's not like you have a total control of everything, but you have some maybe configuration that, you know, how to, it's like profiles or something like that.
Okay.
Anybody else? Okay.
These routing APIs, they are open for third-party applications as well, right?
Yes. So actually, the node structure, we have kind of extension in the Pulse Audio that you can actually see the nodes and you can connect them together. So you could actually do that if you want to, but It's not a part of the official Pulse Audio API. Actually, at the moment, we are discussing this with Upstream that we could actually put this node structure there so that it would be part of the Pulse Audio API. And actually, we are kind of thinking exactly this, that how should we show this node structure to the user, for example, in the UI. So if you think now the desktop, you have there's a volume control. Which you can use. So how should we show this node structure to the user that he could start, or he or she could start routing and doing stuff, that one. But there's an API, but it's not part of the Pulse Audio, but it's there.
Okay.
So you can use it.
Okay, then extension to that is like if the API is open for third-party applications, so a lot of applications are there, I think they will play with policy. So is there any security being implemented there?
Yeah, so this routing API, as we said, we kind of wanted to have this explicit user routing. So if you want to do that, you can really do that. But I mean, Pulse Audio is kind of low level. So we should have some kind of security mechanism then that what kind of application can use it. Can you install that kind of application actually that can use that API? So it's kind of part of the security framework in the whole Tizen. But we just wanted to provide this mechanism that you could do that because it's so common in automotive industry. I mean, they just want to build their HMIs there and totally control everything. Mm-hmm. And if we don't provide that, so we actually want them to kind of slowly shift to the more automated model than to control everything. Because I mean, it just doesn't work very well, I think. I mean, it's not very portable that you all the time, I mean, this is what the OEMs are doing. They are all the time, I mean, the tier ones, they're all the time doing the policy again and again and again and again. So that's the huge business for the tier ones, I have to admit. But so okay. We would like to get out of that so that you just have applications, they say that they're the navigator, and OEM is configuring the rules for that one, and everything works fine.
Okay. In the previous sessions, actually, so many people presented and encouraged HTML5 apps on IBI. So do you have HTML5 bindings for all these things?
Yeah. So Actually, we don't have the routing API is not there. So you cannot do that, I think, at the moment. But the tagging is there. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of, so that's what we want to say. So and it's still debatable that what is the best way to do that. How to, so you can put a meta tag to the application which says that I'm something. Then you lose, for example, this fine-grained control that you cannot specify different tags to the different streams. So it's a navigator and every stream is a navigator. Or you could put a property to the audio tag. Then you could do this, that actually this stream is a navigator, but this stream is a camera. It sounds strange, but I've seen those cases that one single application wants to be, you know, depending on the situation, it wants to be a different application. Okay. But the routing API is not yet there.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Okay, thank you.